This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of Switch on Your Brain, The Key to Peak Happiness, Thinking, and Health by Dr. Caroline Leaf, performed by Joyce Bean. Our life is what our thoughts make it. Marcus Aurelius. Prologue. What would you do if you found a switch that could turn on your brain and enable you to be happier, healthier in your mind and body, more prosperous, and more intelligent? In this book, you will learn how to find and activate that switch. What you think with your mind changes your brain and body, and you are designed with the power to switch on your brain. Your mind is that switch. You have an extraordinary ability to determine, achieve, and maintain optimal levels of intelligence, mental health, peace, and happiness, as well as the prevention of disease in your body and mind. You can, through conscious effort, gain control of your thoughts and feelings, and in doing so, you can change the programming and chemistry of your brain. Science is finally catching up with the Bible, showing us the proof that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Breakthrough neuroscientific research is confirming daily what we instinctively knew all along. What you are thinking every moment of every day becomes a physical reality in your brain and body, which affects your optimal mental and physical health. These thoughts collectively form your attitude, which is your state of mind, and it's your attitude and not your DNA that determines much of the quality of your life. This state of mind is a real, physical, electromagnetic, quantum, and chemical flow in the brain that switches groups of genes on or off in a positive or negative direction based on your choices and subsequent reactions. Scientifically, this is called epigenetics. Spiritually, this is the enactment of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. The brain responds to your mind by sending these neurological signals throughout the body, which means that your thoughts and emotions are transformed into physiological and spiritual effects, and then physiological experiences transform into mental and emotional states. It's a profound and eye-opening thought to realize something seemingly immaterial like a belief can take on a physical existence as a positive or negative change in our cells. And you are in control of all of this. The choices you make today not only impact your spirit, soul, and body, but can also impact the next four generations. The great news is that we are wired for love, which means all our mental circuitry is wired only for the positive, and we have a natural optimism bias wired into us. Our default mode is one of being designed to make good choices. So our bad choices and reactions were wired in by our choices, and therefore can be wired out. Our brain is neuroplastic. It can change and regrow. In addition, God has built in the operating principle of neurogenesis. New nerve cells are birthed daily for our mental benefit. This sounds like Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. This book shows you how to get back control over your thoughts and renew, as in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and rewire your brain in the direction you were originally designed to go. Based solidly on the latest neuroscientific research on the brain, as well as my clinical experience and research, you will learn how thoughts impact your spirit, soul, and body. You will also learn how to detox your thoughts using my practical, detailed, and easy-to-use 21-day brain detox plan. The application is for all walks of life. You won't forgive that person, get rid of that anxiety or depression, follow that essential preventative health care, strive to that intellectual level you know you are capable of, follow that dream, eat that organic food, do that diet, be that great parent or husband or wife or friend, get that promotion, or make other changes to create a quality, positive lifestyle, unless you first choose to get your mind right and switch on your brain. After all, the ability to think and choose and to use your mind correctly is often the hardest step, but it is the first and most powerful step. If you realized how powerful your thoughts are, you would never think a negative thought. Peace, Pilgrim. Introduction. Switch on your brain with hope. Main scripture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Linked science concept. Thoughts are real physical things that occupy mental real estate. Moment by moment, every day, you are changing the structure of your brain through your thinking. When we hope, it is an activity of the mind that changes the structure of our brain in a positive and normal direction. It was only a few decades ago that scientists, including those who trained me, considered the brain to be a fixed and hardwired machine. This view saw the damaged brain as incurable. They believed brain damage was hopeless and untreatable, whether the effects were from stroke, cardiovascular event, traumatic brain injury, learning disabilities, traumas, PTSD, OCD, depression, anxiety, even aging. All of these causes and conditions were seen as largely irreversible. Because this was the presiding view of the brain, I was trained back in the 80s to teach my patients compensation, not restoration of function. I was trained in the conventional wisdom of the time that said brain normality was an impossibility for those with mental limitations or brain damage of any kind. Being a student of the Bible, however, I was deeply familiar with and constantly comforted by Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. NIV. I knew this famous and fabulous renewing of the mind passage was a truth I needed to apply to my patients' care to help them overcome their deficits. So my relentless search of this truth as a scientist began. I was struck by how my patients, using the therapeutic techniques I was developing from my research, belied the negative picture conventional science presented of the human brain at that time. These results confirmed that the brain, far from being fixed in toxicity, can change even in the most challenging neurological situations. I was in awe of what each patient displayed in terms of what you can do when you set your mind to it. Each new scientific study in this direction confirmed what I knew intuitively to be true. We are not victims of our biology or circumstances. How we react to the events and circumstances of life can have an enormous impact on our mental and even physical health. As we think, we change the physical nature of our brain. As we consciously direct our thinking, we can wire out toxic patterns of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. New thought networks grow. We increase our intelligence and bring healing to our brains, minds, and physical bodies. It all starts in the realm of the mind, with our ability to think and choose, the most powerful thing in the universe after God, and indeed fashioned after God. It is with our phenomenal minds that we understand the truths set down in our spirits. It is with our minds that we wire these truths into the brain, which is part of the body. It is with our minds that we choose to develop the spiritual part of who we are and, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James chapter 1, verse 21,
ESV.
It is with our minds that we reject or believe the lies of the enemy, the prince of lies. It is with our minds that we change the physical reality of the brain to reflect our choices. It is with our minds that we decide to follow God's rules and live in peace despite what is going on around us. It is with our minds that we choose to follow the lies of Satan and spiral into mental, physical, and spiritual disarray. Thought changes the structure of matter. God said, "Let there be light," Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and his words produced the physical earth. And science, which again is just catching up with the word of God, is confirming this reality in a tangible and thought-provoking way, with eminently clear accounts arising from the burgeoning field of neuroplasticity research. Neuroplasticity, by definition, means the brain is malleable and adaptable, changing moment by moment of every day. Scientists are finally beginning to see the brain as having renewable characteristics, as in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It is no longer viewed as a machine that is hardwired early in life, unable to adapt, and wearing out with age. With example after fascinating example, exceptional scientists talk about and demonstrate, using brain imaging techniques and the evidence of behavioral changes, how people can change their brains with their minds. We can see and measure the activity of the mind through the firing of neurons. We can even predict the seeming elusiveness of the main functions of the mind, that of thinking and choosing, through quantum mechanics. I continue to find myself moving in a world of engrossing truths, and my spirit leaps inside of me. The fact that the brain is plastic and can actually be changed by the mind gives tangible hope to everyone, no matter what the circumstance. I have been privileged to work with and see autistic children cope in academic and social environments. Senior citizens sharpen their memories to the point that in their 80s they change careers and obtain degrees. Young men and women who grew up in abject poverty and a lifestyle of selling and taking drugs do a complete about-face in their lives, go back to school, and become leaders in their communities. Car accident victims who have been written off by neurologists as vegetables retrain their brains to the point that they complete their schooling up to a tertiary level and go on to become successful contributing citizens. Students labeled as learning disabled with years of therapy and no hope left master learning and achieve grades they and their parents only dreamed of. Schools in some of the worst third world areas in Africa, in which students could not pass to the next level, become schools on the Minister of Education's most improved list. Children with dyslexia learn to read and write and even help their parents study for exams successfully. Suicidal and emotionally traumatized minds set free. Entire schools improve grades across core subjects. And the list goes on. Science is hovering on a precipice as we recognize the responsibility and impact of our thinking and the resultant choices we make, which have ramifications right down to the ways in which the genes of our bodies express themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 is becoming a reality in the world we live in today as we begin to see the effects of choice in the brain and body. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. How we think not only affects our own spirit, soul, and body, but also people around us. Science and scripture both show how the results of our decisions pass through the sperm and ova to the next four generations, profoundly affecting their choices and lifestyles. The science of epigenetics, the signals, including our thoughts, that affect the activity of our genes, explains how this plays out. This reminds me of the scripture, "He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." Exodus chapter 34, verse 7, NIV. That the brain is plastic and can be changed moment by moment by how we direct our thinking, in other words, the choices we make, is a top idea on the bestseller lists, and it actually is the key to switching on our brains. Add to this the fact that every morning when you wake up, new baby nerve cells have been born while you were sleeping that are there at your disposal to be used in tearing down toxic thoughts and rebuilding healthy thoughts. The birth of these new baby nerve cells is called neurogenesis, which brings to mind, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. What a remarkable and hopeful portrait of the endless adaptivity of the human brain God has given us. This book is divided into two parts, with the overall goal of showing you how to switch on your brain. Part 1 uncovers the keys to doing so. In Part 2, you will see how all these keys work together in my 5-step switch on your brain learning process during my 21-day brain detox plan. Here, I will lead you through a process of switching on your brain to achieve peak happiness, thinking, and health. Here are some of the key points in this book. Your mind is the most powerful thing in the universe after God. Free will and choice are real, spiritual, and scientific facts. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Your mind, soul, has one foot in the door of the spirit and one foot in the door of the body. You can change your brain with your mind and essentially renew your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You can develop your spirit through choices you make in your mind to be led by the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Your body is not in control of your mind. Your mind is in control of your body, and your mind is stronger than your body. Mind certainly is over matter. You are not a victim of your biology. You cannot control the events and circumstances of life, but you can control your reaction to those events and circumstances. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. When you think, you build thoughts, and these become physical substances in your brain. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Good thinking equals good choices equals healthy thoughts. Toxic thinking equals toxic choices equals toxic thoughts. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. You are designed to stand outside yourself and observe your own thinking and change it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. You are designed to recognize and choose the right things to think about. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 2. Each morning when you wake up, you have new baby nerve cells born inside your brain to use wisely as you remove bad thoughts and wire in new ones. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. This is called neurogenesis. You have been designed for deep intellectual thought. Psalm 139, verse 14. You are wired for love, and fear is a learned and not a natural response. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. You are made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. All this knowledge will help you realize these truths. Happiness comes from within and success follows, not the other way around. You can learn how to learn and deepen your intellect. You can overcome those learning issues. You can get the chaos in your mind under control. You don't have to walk around in guilt and condemnation. If you wire those toxic thoughts in, you can wire them out. You don't have to get stuck in bad habits. You can change them. You can overcome feelings of rejection and hurt. Forgiveness is not the battle you think it is. You don't have to worry about things that are out of your control. You are not a victim of the things you shouldn't be doing. You don't have to fear that if a condition runs in your family that you are going to get it. For example, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or depression. You can balance your overthinking and overanalyzing mind. You can overcome and control depression and anxiety. Some scientists are showing you can even control and overcome schizophrenia and OCD. You don't have to keep digging into the past to get free from it. You can be happy and filled with peace regardless of your circumstances. If you have nodded your head at even one of these, it is time for you to be set free in your mind to pursue all God has for you. Keep listening. It is time for you to switch on your brain and find the keys to peak happiness, thinking, and health. In part one, I explain through science and scripture how the concepts described above come together. In part two, you will find my 21-day brain detox plan, which incorporates my scientifically proven 5-step switch on your brain technique based on my research, my years in clinical practice, and doing seminars and conferences around the world. This section is practical and filled with key proven strategies that will help you develop a lifestyle of renewing your mind and aligning it with God's will so your divine sense of purpose can be released. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. You are truly designed for peak happiness, thinking, and health. Introduction summary. 1. It was only a few decades ago that scientists considered the brain to be a fixed and hardwired machine. This view saw the damaged brain as incurable, and the focus was compensation, not restoration of function. 2. We can change the physical nature of our brain through our thinking and choosing. 3. As we consciously direct our thinking, we can wire out toxic patterns of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. New thought networks grow. We increase our intelligence and bring healing to our minds and physical bodies. 4. It all starts in the realm of the mind, with our ability to think and choose, the most powerful thing in the universe after God. 5. Neuroplasticity by definition means the brain is malleable and adaptable, changing moment by moment of every day. 6. Scientists are finally beginning to see the brain as having renewable characteristics, as in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. 7. Science is hovering on a precipice as we recognize the responsibility and impact of our thinking and the resultant choices we make, which have ramifications right down to the ways in which the genes of our bodies express themselves. 8. Neurogenesis is the birth of new baby nerve cells. Part 1. How to Switch on Your Brain. Chapter 1. Mind Controls Matter. Main Scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Linked Science Concept. Science shows we are wired for love with a natural optimism bias. This means exactly what that scripture says. The debate in science is between the mind being what the brain does versus the brain doing the bidding of the mind. The position you adopt will impact how you view free will and choice. The mind is what the brain does. The first argument proposes that thoughts come from your brain as though your brain is generating all aspects of your mental experience. People who hold this view are called the materialists. They believe that it is the chemicals and neurons that create the mind, and that the relationships between your thoughts and what you do can just be ignored. So essentially, their perspective is that the brain creates what you are doing and what you are thinking. The mind is what the brain does, they believe, and the ramifications are significant. Take, for example, the treatment of depression. In this reductionist view, depression is a chemical imbalance problem of a machine-like brain. Therefore, the treatment is to add in the missing chemicals. This view is biblically and scientifically incorrect. The brain does the bidding of the mind. Let's look at this from the other angle of the argument. The brain is what the mind does. You are a thinking being. You think all day long, and at night as you sleep, you sort out your thinking. As you think, you choose, and as you choose, you cause genetic expression to happen in your brain. This means you make proteins, and these proteins form your thoughts. Thoughts are real, physical things that occupy mental real estate. Eric R. Kandel, a Nobel Prize-winning neuropsychiatrist for his work on memory, shows how our thoughts, even our imaginations, get under the skin of our DNA and can turn certain genes on and certain genes off, changing the structure of the neurons in the brain. So, as we think and imagine, we change the structure and function of our brains. Even Freud speculated back in the 1800s that thought leads to changes in the brain. In recent years, leading neuroscientists like Marion Diamond, Norman Doidge, Joe Dispenza, Jeffrey Schwartz, Henry Markram, Bruce Lipton, and Alan Jones, to name just a few, have shown how our thoughts have remarkable power to change the brain. Our brain is changing moment by moment as we are thinking. By our thinking and choosing, we are redesigning the landscape of our brain. Our mind is designed to control the body, of which the brain is a part, not the other way around. Matter does not control us. We control matter through our thinking and choosing. We cannot control the events and circumstances of life, but we can control our reactions. In fact, we can control our reactions to anything, and in doing so, we change our brains. It's not easy. It is hard work, but it can be done through our thoughts and choices. This is what I focus on in the second half of the book with my 21-day brain detox plan. For now, rest in the assurance that what God has empowered you to do with your mind is more powerful and effective than any medication, any threat, any sickness, or any neurological challenge. The scripture is clear on this. You do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We are not bound by the physical. We control the physical. You just have to look at the many inspirational survival stories of those who have overcome impossible odds throughout history and in the current day to know this is truth. Choices are real. You are free to make choices about how you focus your attention, and this affects how the chemicals and proteins and wiring of your brain change and function. Scientists are proving that the relationship between what you think and how you understand yourself, your beliefs, dreams, hopes, and thoughts, has a huge impact on how your brain works. Research shows that 75% to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life. This staggering and eye-opening statistic means only 2% to 25% of mental and physical illnesses come from the environment and genes. Thinking activates genes. Every day, scientists are discovering the precise pathways by which changes in human consciousness produce changes in our brain and bodies. Our consciousness, this phenomenal gift from God to be able to think, activates our genes and changes our brain. Science shows that our thoughts, with their embedded feelings, turn sets of genes on and off in complex relationships. We take facts, experiences, and the events of life and assign meaning to them with our thinking. We may have a fixed set of genes in our chromosomes, but which of those genes are active and how they are active has a great deal to do with how we think and process our experiences. Our thoughts produce words and behaviors, which in turn stimulate more thinking and choices that build more thoughts in an endless cycle. Our brains are shaped by our reactions. We are constantly reacting to circumstances and events, and as this cycle goes on, our brains become shaped by the process in either a positive, good quality of life direction or a negative, toxic, poor quality of life direction. So it is the quality of our thinking and choices, consciousness, and our reactions that determine our brain architecture, the shape or design of the brain, and resultant quality of the health of our minds and bodies. Science and scripture both show that we are wired for love and optimism, and so when we react by thinking negatively and making negative choices, the quality of our thinking suffers, which means the quality of our brain architecture suffers. It is comforting and challenging to know that negative thinking is not the norm. Thinking changes our DNA. Taking this to a deeper level, research shows that DNA actually changes shape according to our thoughts. As you think those negative thoughts about the future, the week ahead, what a person might say or do, even in the absence of the concrete stimulus, that toxic thinking will change your brain wiring in a negative direction and throw your mind and body into stress. According to Dr. Herbert Benson, MD, president of Harvard Medical School's Mind-Body Institute, negative thinking leads to stress, which affects our body's natural healing capacities. Toxic thinking wears down the brain. The Institute of HeartMath, an internationally recognized nonprofit research organization that helps people reduce stress, discusses an experiment titled Local and Non-Local Effects of Coherent Heart Frequencies on Conformational Changes of DNA. This study showed that thinking and feeling anger, fear, and frustration caused DNA to change shape according to thoughts and feelings. The DNA responded by tightening up and becoming shorter, switching off many DNA codes, which reduced quality expression. So we feel shut down by negative emotions, and our body feels this too. But here's the great part. The negative shutdown or poor quality of the DNA codes was reversed by feelings of love, joy, appreciation, and gratitude. The researchers also found that HIV-positive patients who had positive thoughts and feelings had 300,000 times more resistance to the disease than those without positive feelings. So the takeaway here is that when we operate in our normal love design, which is being made in God's image, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we are able to change the shape of our DNA for the better. So when we make a poor quality decision, when we choose to engage toxic thoughts, for example, unforgiveness, bitterness, irritation, or feelings of not coping, we change the DNA and subsequent genetic expression, which then changes the shape of our brain wiring in a negative direction. This immediately puts the brain into protection mode, and the brain translates these poor quality toxic thoughts as negative stress. This stress then manifests in our bodies. But the most exciting part of this study was the hope it demonstrated, because the positive attitude, the good choice, rewired everything back to the original healthy positive state. These scientists basically proved we can renew our minds. Stress. Stress stage 1 is normal. This is our alert state that keeps us focused and conscious and is the state we are in when we are thinking in alignment with God. Stress stage 2 and stage 3, however, are our mind and body's response to toxic thinking. Normal stress gone wrong. Even a little bit of these negative levels of stress from a little bit of toxic thinking has far-reaching consequences for mental and physical health. The dictionary defines stress as a condition typically characterized by symptoms of mental and physical tension or strain, as depression or hypertension, that can result from a reaction to a situation in which a person feels threatened, pressured, etc. Synonyms for stress include anxiety, nervousness, fearfulness, apprehensiveness, impatience, fear, tenseness, and restlessness. Reaction is the key word here. You cannot control the events or circumstances of your life, but you can control your reactions. And controlling those reactions is the difference between healthy minds and bodies and sick minds and bodies. Here are just a few statistics confirming that 75 to 98% of mental and physical illness comes from one's thought life. A study by the American Medical Association found that stress is a factor in 75% of all illnesses and diseases that people suffer from today. The association between stress and disease is a colossal 85%. The International Agency for Research on Cancer and the World Health Organization have concluded that 80% of cancers are due to lifestyle and not genetics, and this is a conservative number. According to Dr. Bruce Lipton, a scientist who has made great strides in understanding the effect of our thinking on our brain, gene disorders like Huntington's chorea, beta thalassemia, and cystic fibrosis, to name a few, affect less than 2% of the population. This means the vast majority of the world's population comes into this world with genes that should enable them to live happy and healthy lives. Lipton says a staggering 98% of diseases are related to lifestyle choices. In other words, our thinking. According to Dr. H.F. Nihat, genes control biology and not the other way around. According to W.C. Willett, only 5% of cancer and cardiovascular patients can attribute their disease to hereditary factors. The American Institute of Health estimates that 75 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians are for stress-related problems. Some of the latest negative stress statistics causing illness as a result of toxic thinking are eye-opening. The main point of this chapter is that mind controls matter. If we get this right, we have enormous potential to reach peak health. If we get it wrong, we will be our own worst enemies. Chapter 1 Summary. 1. The debate in science is between the mind being what the brain does versus the brain doing the bidding of the mind. 2. The correct view is that the mind is designed to control the body, of which the brain is a part, not the other way around. 3. Our brain does not control us. We control our brain through our thinking and choosing. 4. We can control our reactions to anything. 5. Choices are real. You are free to make choices about how you focus your attention, and this affects how the chemicals, proteins, and wiring of your brain change and function. 6. Research shows that DNA actually changes shape in response to our thoughts. 7. Stress stage 1 is normal. Stress stage 2 and stage 3, on the other hand, are our mind and body's response to toxic thinking. Basically, normal stress gone wrong. 8. Reaction is the key word here. You cannot control the events or circumstances of your life, but you can control your reactions. Chapter 2. Choice and Your Multiple Perspective Advantage. Main Scripture. Let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, act as umpire continually, in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the Amplified Bible. Linked Science Concept. Choice is real, and free will exists. You are able to stand outside of yourself, observe your own thinking, consult with God, and change the negative, toxic thought or grow the healthy, positive thought. When you do this, your brain responds with a positive neurochemical rush and structural changes that will improve your intellect, health, and peace. You will experience soul harmony. These are obvious statements. However, many of us walk through life as though we are victims of the events and circumstances of life and biology, and whatever or whomever else we think of to blame. As a therapist for nearly 22 years, and having reached millions of people through my seminars, books, and media appearances, the statements I make more than any others are these. You are not a victim. You can control your reactions. You do have a choice. Free will is not an illusion. All of us, including God-fearing Christians, fall prey to media proclamations by neuroscientists and researchers who make the news with such leading questions as, "Is free will an illusion?" The problem, however, is that this point of view cannot be reconciled with what we know about the human brain and what Scripture says about us as humans. In a New York Times article, a legal analyst even asked, "Because our brains cause all behavior, could all behavior be potentially excused?" This is dangerous thinking. They are basically saying that we are not responsible for our actions, which provides an excuse to do whatever we want to do with no consequences. We must always remember that scientists are not God, though they sometimes act like they are. I am a scientist, and if I can't back up a scientific fact with Scripture, I question its validity. Philosophers and scientists have long debated whether we have free will. Some argue free will is a quaint, old-fashioned idea. Of course, the mere fact that people debate this issue means they are using their free will to formulate their opinions and choose their answers. So they quite literally destroy their own argument. A typical neuroscientist might argue that free decisions are determined ahead of time by brain activity. This argument says the brain is like a machine that has all these programs running over which we have no control. This machine produces the mind, and we go through life helplessly at the will and mercy of these programs. Then neuroscientists use brain imaging and fancy terminology to argue that free will is just an illusion. We can choose to think the way God wants us to think. As a communication pathologist specializing in the field of cognitive neuroscience, my research is concerned mainly with how humans think and the impact of this thinking on what they say and do, and I have come to a very different conclusion from those who think free will is just an illusion. I'm convinced beyond all doubt that our God-given ability to think and choose means that our free will influences our thinking, which produces our state of mind. This is so important to human behavior and potential that I have dedicated my life to understanding the process of thought and how we can choose to think the way God wants us to think. Far from explaining away free will, the neuroscientific evidence actually explains how free will works. Molecular biologist Francis Crick, who won a Nobel Prize in 1962 with James Watson for their discovery of DNA in 1953, said free will is a simple-minded bit of confabulation, and dismissed it as an exercise in self-delusion. In making this statement, Crick overlooked something important. He chose with his free will to formulate that thought and express it. Proving free will. Brain activity can be identified in the prefrontal cortex, just above the eyebrows, and parietal cortex, top side of your head, 7 to 10 seconds before an actual decision is verbalized or enacted. Many scientists use this fact to argue that the decision was already encoded. I see it differently, and I am in good company with scientists like Jeffrey Schwartz, Norman Doidge, and others. My argument is that this brain activity is the processing activity we do unconsciously, on the very real and active non-conscious level. See Chapter 8, which is flavored by the thoughts, memories we have implanted into our non-conscious minds over time. In this phase, we choose to add our own unique perception based on these implanted thoughts that form our point of view on our way to verbalization or action we perform. So, in simple terms, what we say and do is based on what we have already built into our minds. We evaluate this information and make our choices based on this information. Then we choose to build a new thought, and this is what drives what we say or do. This brain activity, seen in brain imaging, is not the result of machine-like activity. It is simply the build-up to the moment of consciousness. It is the activity of a network of neural circuits that begin to prepare for an upcoming decision long before it enters our awareness. It is the intellectualizing that is happening in the non-conscious mind. In other words, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. We are not driven by forces beyond our conscious control. We are accountable for every thought and decision we make. We are highly intelligent beings with free will, and we are responsible for our choices. Some forward-thinking researchers have found that when people doubt free will, they become more dishonest. It is almost as though denying free will provides the ultimate excuse to behave however people want without accountability for their actions. Other researchers found that believing in free will guides people's choices toward being more moral and better performers. They go so far as to say that the more researchers investigate free will, the more reasons there are to believe in it, and that to an extent those who believe otherwise delude themselves. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, NLT, says it like this: God created people to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their own downward path. A standard definition of free will is a set of capacities for imagining future courses of action, deliberating about one's reason for choosing them, planning one's actions in light of this deliberation, and controlling actions in the face of competing desires. This, I believe, is how we choose to follow either God's path or Satan's path. Science is proving free will right down to the genetic level. Let's take a look at some of the evidence. Choice has mental real estate. Choice has mental real estate around the front of the brain. It includes many circuits that start at the basal forebrain, between your eyebrows, and extend back across the frontal lobe, which is capable of an impressive array of functions and is connected to all other parts of the brain. It is also where connections from all the other parts of the brain converge. Specific circuits go to structures like the insula, corpus callosum, anterior and posterior central gyrus, basal ganglia, precuneus, and subgenual region of the brain. This arrangement enables the frontal lobe to integrate and manage activities in the other parts of the brain. We can observe our own thoughts. One of the most exciting features of frontal lobes is how they enable us, in a sense, to stand outside ourselves and observe our own thinking. We can observe our thoughts and actions and make decisions about them. Suddenly, biblical principles such as bringing all thoughts into captivity, renewing your mind, casting all your cares, and being anxious for nothing become less difficult when we realize God has given us the equipment to do these things. When we choose life, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the diamond increases its shine. When we choose anything other than life, the diamond loses its shine. This is a simple analogy of what happens in the brain. The wrong choices cause brain damage. The right choices enhance brain function. Our MPA. We have what I like to call multiple perspective advantage, MPA for short. Our unique, multifaceted nature, made in God's image, allows us to see things from many different angles, like different perspectives. We have the unique opportunity to assess our thoughts and their impact and choose to connect to the vine that is Christ. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. To restore growth and prune off the branches of toxic thinking. We are directly responsible for what we choose to think about and dwell on, and we make these decisions in the privacy of our own thinking. As you think, it is important to make a distinction between who you truly are, the real, multifaceted, unique you, and the person you have become through toxic choices. Fortunately, you can see both and choose to reconnect with the vine, John chapter 15, and renew your mind, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Your brain will follow the instructions and choices of your mind and change its landscape accordingly. Part 2 of this book will help you do just that. You are a thinking being. Let's go deeper into the brain to see how influential and real your free will and choices are. You are a thinking being. You think all day long, and you are even thinking while you sleep. Daytime thinking is a building process, whereas nighttime thinking is a sorting process. As you think, you are making your way to a decision of some kind. Whether it's as simple as what to eat or as complex as choosing one of several different courses of action you face. All thinking activity is real. All this thinking activity is real, and it can be seen on various types of brain imaging. When we think, marvelous, wondrously complex and creative things take place. Even if you don't fully understand what I am saying in the next few paragraphs, be in awe of how intricately God has made us. Just the mind activity from your reading of the next few lines generates electromagnetic, electrochemical, and quantum action in your neurons. It causes magnetic fields that can be measured, electrical impulses that can be tracked, chemical effects that can be seen and measured, photons to be activated that can be captured on computer screens, energy activity that can be explained using quantum physics and vibrations in the membranes of the neurons that can be picked up by instrumentation. This combined activity sets up an intricate and organized sequence of actions of neurotransmitters, proteins, and energy that forms a signal. Your thinking has just created a powerful signal that is going to change the landscape of your brain. You create signals. This signal you have just created passes through the membrane of the cell, travels to the cell's nucleus, and enters the chromosome, activating a strand of DNA. The DNA is zipped up, almost as though it is in a cocoon, until activated or unzipped by the signal. When the DNA is zipped up, it is in a dormant or inert state. This cocoon also protects the DNA from the rest of the intracellular environment while in this inert state. So the zipped-up DNA has to be opened so that the appropriate genetic code needed to build the protein can be read. As it is opened and the code is read, RNA, a type of protein that almost acts like a photocopier, makes a photocopy of the code, which serves as a guide or architectural plan to build the proteins within the machinery inside the cell. This is called genetic expression, and these proteins you have caused to be built hold the information you have just read as a thought or a memory. You have created substance. Molecules are assembled into protein by the genetic instructions in our DNA. These instructions dictate the anatomy and physiology of our bodies, and we control up to 90% of this process through our thinking. While scientists have brilliantly mapped the whole sequence of gene expression and protein assembly, they have given very little attention to the signals that get the whole thing going in the first place. The signal that unzips DNA. Let's take a closer look at these signals. 1. The initiating signals that get the ball rolling come from outside the DNA and are therefore called epigenetic phenomena, which means signals that control the genes, so they are epi, or over and above the genes. 2. When there is interference with this signal, for example, thinking a toxic thought or eating unhealthy food, genetic expression does not happen correctly, and then proteins do not form like they should. So, on a very simplified level, if you have a toxic thought, the resulting proteins look different and act differently than if you had a healthy thought. 3. These signals are electromagnetic and chemical because there is an electromagnetic and chemical component to every biological process. 4. These signals can come from the environment inside the body. The emotional, biochemical, mental, energy, and spiritual, including from the thought networks inside your brain. Or they can come from the environment outside the body. The food, toxins, social network, and nurturing you receive. Researchers estimate that about 90% of genes in the DNA are working with these signals from these outer and inner environments. The switch gene. One of the many amazing things Kandel discovered was that we have a switch gene called the Krebs gene, which we choose to switch on with our thoughts. So our thoughts are the signal I am talking about in the preceding paragraph. I wish I could delve further into this fascinating topic, but it is a highly complex process and beyond the purpose of this book, which is not meant to be a scientific tome. However, it is still worth a brief and simple mention because it highlights how God built choice into every sophisticated detail of our being, and once again, gives us the opportunity to admire Him. Here is a simple explanation of this switch gene. As information in the form of electromagnetic and chemical signals moves toward the front part of the brain, it becomes amplified and highly active. This stimulates the release of specialized proteins inside the cell, turning on the Krebs gene, which acts like a light switch that we choose to switch on or off by our thoughts. This switch Krebs gene then activates genetic expression, the making of proteins, and we grow protein branches that hold our memories, which can also be called our thoughts. So when we choose to switch on the Krebs gene because of the thoughts we allow to permeate our brain, protein synthesis happens and a new branch grows and makes a connection at a synapse to other branches. What does all this science mean to you? All this scientific and biological information is to say two things. 1. Scientific investigation is a way of admiring God. We admire God's grace and greatness when we get a glimpse at how He has made us and constructed the world we live in. This can give us a sense of peace that He is in control. 2. Scientists are discovering precise pathways by which changes in human thinking operate as signals that activate genetic expression, which then produce changes in our brains and bodies. Our genetic makeup fluctuates by the minute based on what we are thinking and choosing. Clearly, then, following the advice of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, will have a profound healing and regenerative impact on our bodies and minds by affecting our genetic expression. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. NIV. Make this truth your life choice. What does the future of medicine potentially hold? Eric Kandel, the Nobel Prize winner for his research on memory, says the following concerning treating patients in the future. Social influences will be biologically incorporated into the altered expression of specific genes in specific nerve cells of specific areas of the brain. So a time is coming when medical practitioners will include admonitions like Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and Romans chapter 12, verse 2 on their prescription pads. Part 2 of this book is designed to help you apply God's prescription. From the gene myth to the truth. We have been living under a myth called the gene myth, which locates the ultimate power over health and mental well-being in the untouchable realm